in terms of, you know, this meditation practice, what to do over the next 9 days. And the thing is, that's the thing. Not to do anything. It's a trick. But just to be here, however we can, in your own personal experience, try to be here as much as you can. You like to sit, enjoy the quiet hall in here, sitting with, you know, 40 some other people, silently, sharing the silence with them. That's something very, very precious. That's something we don't do very much in the world. When we see each other, we're yabbling away, yab, 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 yab. And we don't give each other that silence. And it's really deep, actually. I really, really like most of my retreat that I've taken part in. Not because we're sharing anything, you know, verbally, but just sitting quietly with a group of people for 9 days. I always walk away feeling really, really kind of a strong sense of bonding with everybody. And most of the time I've never spoken to anybody other than the hi, how are you? So I kind of encourage people to do the same, just to kind of allow people, you know, the quietness. Because then just by meditating this quiet room with each other, it's amazing karma we're making with each other. The deepest and most wholesome karma. Just sitting quietly meditating together. So you like that, you can do that. But also if you're more an outdoor person who enjoys the plants and the flora outside, and do walking meditation outside. You really enjoy this place. Enjoy this whole experience of just being here. Doesn't matter where you are with your meditation, where you think you're going to crack it this time, or whether you think, I need a break. I just want to sit here and not do anything. I just want to sleep in my room for 9 days. Wherever you are, doesn't matter. You know, just kind of being here and this great karma of getting onto one of these retreats. And not to worry, leave the expectations behind at the door. Hopefully you left it in the front door when you walked through. Because that's, you know, as you know, the more you're more sensitive to it, the expectations are also part of suffering. It pulls us away from the present moment. And to be sensitive to those kind of tendency to want something out of this. Do you want to get somewhere? Do you want a result to show to your friends? Just to be aware of those tendencies, because those are the ones that actually will stop our mind from being peaceful. Because it's looking for somewhere else. Always, you know, maybe a mantra or a cone that you can always kind of say to yourself, is where am I? Where am I? During this retreat, you're eating, where am I? You're walking, where am I? Listening to Dhamma talk, where am I? Am I here? Well, I wish I was back in Dhammaloka with Ajahn Brahm. Where am I? There's nowhere else to be. We're here. You're here already. Can't be anywhere else. So might as well enjoy the ride of being here, wherever that's taking you. The simile for our mind is like, a lot of time it's like, you know, having on this train, very long, long train, a heavy train. And because we live in the world, there's certain momentum behind our thinking mind. It's very fast and it's very heavy, so there's very strong momentum. And when most of us, when we get to retreat, we think, you know, by an act of will, I can stop everything. Okay, I'm here, watch my breath. 24 hours a day, 24/7, just watch my breath. I'm not going to move away from it, because that's what I'm supposed to do on the meditation retreat. But, you know, sometimes that's kind of unrealistic. We know our mind is like a train. It's going very fast, very heavy, with hundreds and hundreds of carts behind it. So in order for that to stop, it takes time. Even if you take away in the fuel, you're taking your foot off the pedal. There's so much momentum behind it. That was, you know, would continue like that. Maybe for a few hours, maybe sometimes for a few days even. So to know that because of the momentum already in the mind, to allow that time to slow down on its own. The train, your mind will slow down and come to a stop. If you take away the feel is the wanting, the craving, the planning, expecting. But when you take that away, it doesn't stop right away, because you know there's still a lot of momentum behind it. So the thing is, just to have faith and confidence in the Buddha's teaching, and Ajahn Brahm's teaching. Like, as long as I leave my foot off the pedal, as long as I allow, you know, things to go on, it will stop eventually. But sometimes, you know, we take our feet up, but only for a second, then we get bored, or we get, you know, we're not used to it, we stick it on, we put up, you know, slam our feet onto the gas pedal again. And it goes on again. We're still planning, looking for things. So when you find yourself doing that, just kind of step back a little. Say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to be happy with whatever's happening right now. Right? And don't get anywhere other than just, you know, what, being the present moment. That's good enough. You know, stillness, samadhi, stillness is a goal. But stillness is also the path. So you don't get to stillness by striving. You don't get to stillness by moving, by doing things. Only you get to stillness by letting go, by being still. And that's the thing. Sometimes for most of us, that's hard to get. Because all in our life and the whole world revolve around doing, managing, controlling. You know, you only get your degrees if you study really hard, put a lot of effort into it. You know, you only have a fit and healthy body if you go to the gym. You know, with the meditation, it goes in the opposite direction. That's why sometimes it's hard for people to get. Because we don't know what it feels like to do nothing. To really, really do nothing. We could sit here and not move our body, and we're good. But then the mind, that's another, you know, a different story. It moves at a pace on its own. So that's why the next 9 days, encourage people just kind of do that. Look inside. Look at your mind. See where is that? What's it doing? And then to work with it. To soothe it, to inspire it, to cajole it. Whatever you can to stay in the present moment. Just right here. Go look at the plants, if you like plants. Do some walking meditation, it feels good. Or sitting. Whatever. Just discover what this mind of yours likes to do. And then give it what it wants. And see what it does. One of the kind of skillful method I would like to kind of offer to people, encourage people to do, is just to kind of watch the physical sensation in your body. Whatever's happening in your mind, it's a physical manifestation of it. You're sitting, see whether you relax or not. The chest is relaxed, or whether it's tense, your shoulders. Once you get to know your body, you see where the trouble spots are. The usual spots, whether it's the tension in your shoulder, your face, maybe slight clenching of the jawbone, your stomach areas, whatever. So as soon as you're sitting down, first 5 minutes, just, you know, check with the body. Soothe and relax that first. Then you can use that and focus on the breath. Or go to metta meditation. Whatever it is. But also, you know, make sure you take care of the body. Be in touch with it, soothe and you calm and you relax it as much as you can. Because this body is only the vehicle that we have to take it with our practice. We can't ignore it, especially in the beginning. You can't abuse it or ignore it. It will come back to haunt us. Your aching knee, your aching back. Those things will get louder and louder unless you know how to appease it. You know how to work with the body. But also, meditation, the art of letting go, the art of being, is also the essential skill for a happy life or happiness in your world. The same skills that we cultivate when we're sitting with our eyes closed are the same skills that you need to be a successful person in the world, to live in harmony. You know how to live in harmony in your body and your mind. You also can also live in harmony with other people around you. And also the opposite is true. You can't get along with people outside. There's a good chance that your meditation is also not very good, because we don't know how to get along with this mind of ours, always complaining, always with look at it with negativity. So the same gentleness, same patience that we work with the meditation, is the same gentleness and patience that we can bring to the world around us. That's just encouraging people to see that this meditation, the sitting with our eyes closed or walking, it's not separate from life, but it's the essence of life. That's why great meditation masters are really happy and wise people, because they learn how to train their mind. Once you train your mind, you can do great things in the world. Remember that. So you want to do great things in the world, train your mind. Not the other way around. Don't train the other people first. The temptation is very easy. That's the thing for the 8 precepts. Remember, the 8 precepts of noble silence is for each and every one of us to train ourselves. If someone's walking around with a mobile phone, you don't have to go over there and tell them off. Allow them just to do whatever they want. Just say, okay, that's his or her business. My business here is to be happy. To look with each other, at each other, with the same eyes of a mother will look at her newborn. With loving kindness, unconditional kindness. Yeah, whatever you do, that's okay. I'm sure you must have a reason to be on the phone. And I give you the benefit of doubt. Right? If you had to be talking loudly outside the hall, that's okay. I'm sure you had a reason for doing that. I'm not going to let that ruin my meditation. I'm not going to go out and bother the sound, right? Allow the sound to come into your consciousness, stay there for a flash of a second, and go away. But we get angry, we get annoyed, then that sound stays with us for the whole time. Could be half an hour. But the rest of the day, we really, really get angry. So a simple trick is just not allow anything like that to stick onto our minds. Allow things to come, to stay, and then to go away on their own. And that only happens through kindness and gentleness and letting go. When there's any negativity, it just becomes very sticky. It becomes, it grows hooks right away, clenches into your mind. So only with gentleness, with patience, that things go on their own, slips away. So, that's, I think, the crux of the talks regarding just on the first day. Like I said, Ajahn Brahm's only word was just to settle people down. It doesn't really matter what I said. Unfortunately, that's what he said. Few days, just settle down anyway. You can't go wrong the first few days. And just relax. And like I said, that's the main thing. Enjoy being here. You've gone a long, long way just being here. Really firm on the path already. Yeah. I know it's the first day, and some people, what's your Friday? So at the end of the week, some people are probably very, very tired. You can go to sleep early if you want. Or some people can sit. You had an easy week. You can sit for a little bit longer if you want. Before people get up and stretch or whatever, any questions or comments regarding the structure of the retreat or what you're supposed to be doing? Yes?
If we all have different time schedules, do you want to wake up early to have an alarm clock with a person next door
hearing? Yeah, I think the only way to solve that, Ajahn Brahm would say, I know he heard him last time, is to turn your alarm clock off. And just whatever time you wake up, that's fine. Yeah. Because if you do, I mean, the thing is, because the body knows how much rest it is. And you can also try this experiment. When I get up at 3 o'clock, just say, okay, I'm going to wake up at 3 o'clock. I'm going to wake up at 3 o'clock. I'm going to wake up at 3 o'clock. Before you lie down to sleep. And then see what the mind does. And if you're tired, if you're well rested, the mind is bright, you will get up at 3 o'clock. But if you're tired, then it's okay. You know, what's a couple extra hours to sleep? Yeah? So, I would encourage you that. You can kind of wake it up by the alarm clock. Just wake it up using, the rhythm of your body. Just go to sleep when you're tired, and then wake up when you feel, you're refreshed. First time you wake up, just get up. And then maybe wash your face, and then do some walking, sitting. And if you wake up too early, if you're tired, you can always go back to sleep in the afternoon. Yeah, nothing is lost. So just kind of work with that instead of being bound to the clock. And that's the reason why he encouraged people to not pay too much attention to the schedule. And because in everyday life, we're just slaves to the clock. We have meeting at a certain time, we eat lunch at a certain time, do things at a certain time. And the mind is very tied to that. Now it's just to kind of allow the mind the freedom to do what it wants to do. And to be sensitive to that. Before we're like, I don't care, I'm tired now, I have a meeting to go, so I have to go to a meeting. But now allow your mind just to kind of relax, unwind, and see whether see what it wants to do in the morning, whether it wants to sleep in or whether it wants to get up and do some walking or sitting meditation. Yeah. Okay. No, not even that. No, gone. You'll see. I mean, 7 o'clock people just empty out all by themselves. It's quite obvious. Yeah. Even when you're sitting, you're seeing people just start shuffling out. Yeah, no one's ever missed breakfast or lunch. Yeah. I don't remember any gong. Yeah, people can correct me, but I don't remember any gong, any of the treats. This one actually brings it, I think he just gongs it for the Q&A or something. Like 8 o'clock. Just kind of, because a lot of people are sitting beforehand, and to get people out of it, that's why he just gongs it. But it's very small gong, you wouldn't hear it if you're outside the room. So I think sometimes he comes in here slightly early, and he sits before the talk. So 8 o'clock he would give a little ding, and he starts his talk. That's the only gong that you will hear, I think. The breakfast, the lunch, and the tea, usually people are just kind of drifting towards that way. Around the time. But also I think if you have a good meditation, you happen to sit through the lunch, I think the kitchen staff are quite helpful. They probably save you something behind and you can eat some cheese or some soy milk or something as well after 12. Yeah. That's the thing with the 8 precept. There are cheese and soy milk that you can take if you worry about it. And the main thing is just to kind of keep the body light and comfortable for meditation in the afternoon. Don't have to worry about cleaning up and stuff. Yeah. Okay, so there are no more questions or comments? And yeah, we can do some stretching. You can stretch and then go back or continue sitting. Yeah, later. And then Ajahn Brahm will be back later and he will start off tomorrow. In the morning with the chanting and so forth. Okay? All the best. This is my first and last session. Let's go back to Bodhinyana Monastery.